the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
You know, talking to me about the players, the group of guys that they have there right now, and how they eat, sleep, breathe hockey. And to me, that sold me. I want to be part of that. And you know, they say they have a special group there, and I want to be one of those guys that plays there. And then, you know, hopefully we can build on that and have some success.
And that is the voice of the new member of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Patrick Marleau, who definitely broke the bank in free agency, signing a 3-year deal with the Leafs with a cap hit of $6.25 million per year. I'm David Morisuti, back with you for another edition of the Tip of the Tower podcast. Chris Okranitz is on vacation. Austin is getting ready to move. Omar is at work. But don't worry, we got Jake, who rushed back from the cottage to come to the studio to record today. Jake?
So it makes up for all those other losses.
It definitely does. I mean, any day we can be stuck inside of a nice studio on a sunny day to talk free agency, pretty good day. So let's start with the Patrick Marleau signing. So July 1st comes around. Four teams were apparently interested in Patrick Marleau. San Jose Sharks, then you had the Leafs, you had the Anaheim Ducks, and the Dallas Stars were the four teams that are rumored to be interested in Marleau. First day of free agency goes by. Not a peep out of the Marleau camp. Go into day two, so July 2nd, about, I would say, what, 5:30? The news breaks out. Everybody's phones just go off the rails that Marleau signs with the Leafs. What was your initial reaction to the signing?
I mean, initially, within the first 15 minutes, you're excited that they got, you know, probably one of the top 3 to 5 free agents on the market, even though it's not really a big class. There were probably 3 to 5 guys out there that, you know, were going to make a pretty decent bit of production into their new teams and would make a difference. Guys like Radulov, Thornton, Marleau, Ben Bishop was out there. There were a couple useful players out there, and also Shattenkirk with the Rangers. And initially, I was really happy because I thought he'd fit in, you know, right away with Matthews on that first line on that wing. We don't really have a lot of left wingers. But then you kind of went back and you looked at the contract and you're like, 6.25. That's kind of a lot of money. I pictured he'd be in the like $5 to $5.5 million range. And I thought he'd get 2 years. I'm not a real fan of the third year, considering he's an over 35 player, and you know, with those types of guys, you can't really put them on Robidoux Island. You can't just make them go away. They'll stay there. But, you know, then again, this is a you know, general manager and coach that haven't steered us wrong yet. So, you know, you got to have your trust in that they know what they're doing, and they believe he can be productive in 2 to 3 years from now.
So the Leafs are very active with free agents. You know, they bring in Marleau. They add Ron Hainsey, they bring in Dominic Moore, and then re-sign Curtis McIlhenny. So the Leafs had 4 holes that they needed to fill in free agency, and they filled all 4 holes. But just back to the Marleau thing for a second, I do get, like, this was something I've been, you know, listening to on the radio, all over Twitter. I've gotten into some conversations on, you know, the whole Marleau age thing. Look, I understand he's old, getting old. We know that he's a... know what he's done in the past. Mm-hmm. We know what he is capable of, and yes, the cap hits high, but we all know that going into free agency, a player like Marleau is not a guy you're going to get on a bargain. If you want to take a guy like that out of the city he's played with for almost 20 years, he ain't going to be leaving on a bargain. He understands his value, and he understands that this free agency class was not superb, and you mentioned that. This was going to take a significant offer to get him to move. And the Leafs, I guess, offering that third year, maybe a little more money, did that. But it also shows that the Leafs have essentially a 3-year window, of course, with the Marleau contract, that they can afford to do something like this, where they can add a guy like this and make that hefty cap. You know, it's not even going to, like, I hear people talking about making a huge dent in the cap. It's not a huge dent in the cap. It's just one player. and he's only making $6.25 million. So it's not like the Leafs went out and did what they did, like a David Clarkson signing. Like, we've seen the Leafs make way worse decisions than this. I don't even call this a bad decision. You're bringing in a guy who 2 years ago was playing in the Stanley Cup Finals. He's taken San Jose to the playoffs. God knows how many. Like, their run was very similar to Detroit, where they were always in the mix. They just ran into some really hard, you know, Chicago teams, L.A. teams. Like, San Jose was a legit contender in the West. So before people get all, you know, what has he won, what has he done, he's done some pretty good things. And to add a guy like that to a mix of, you know, Matthews, Nylander, Marner, like, just think, Zach Hyman will not be the one receiving passes from Austin Matthews. Austin Matthews will be receiving passes from Marleau. Austin Matthews will be seeing a guy streaking down the wing, like, with Marleau's speed, and be able to take a shot and not goof up on a chance in front of the net. This is a guy who I think can easily score 25 goals, and that's a minimum, I think.
He had 27 last year.
He had 27 last year. He hasn't missed a game, 624 straight games he's played. Not many players, especially at his age, can do that. So I think before people get all crazy about his age, what is he going to do, his cap hit, you got to look at the player first. We know what he's capable of, and I'm not the guy who's going to try to criticize a signing until I see him on the ice. I think people should just kind of hold off on being too judgmental on it until we've actually seen him put skates on with the Leafs. So that's kind of my thinking on Marleau. You were kind of going through your whole depth chart. I think we're in agreement that it's Austin Matthews is the guy you're playing him with, although I've heard some rumblings that he should be on a third line, which makes absolutely no sense given that you're paying the guy over $6 million. Why are we obviously saying automatically he's playing with Austin Matthews? Why is that such a foregone conclusion?
I mean, this is a guy that, you know, I think he had about four or five teams that offered him contracts. I guarantee other teams offer him three-year deals. I don't think Toronto was the only one to do that. I know that San Jose offered him 2 years with maybe even more money than the Leafs, but I think he did it because he got extra term. And there's no way he doesn't get the okay that's who he's playing with. There's no way he would sign up to be like to go play third line with Nazem Kadri. I mean, that might be, you know, a pretty decent setup for some guys, but he came here because he wants to play with 34, and that's like, I mean, you at least you can promise that, and you're starting with it right away. He might not finish the season that way, even though I expect him to, but I mean, look at why Lucic signed. I mean, if they didn't have McDavid, there's no way he's even signing there. That's the reason you get free agents of you know, his talent and his history is because you have, you know, elite talent up front. And he said at his introductory phone call or whatever it was on all the radio shows that he was looking forward to playing with the young superstars they had. And they have three of them, so I'd imagine he's playing with at least one of them.
Yeah, and the other thing is he's also very familiar with Mike Babcock.
Yeah.
Played in two Olympics.
Won two gold.
Two gold medals. I mean, I remember going back to the 2010 Olympics, he was one of the star forwards for Canada.
Like, oh, yeah.
People forget that Crosby was not putting up big numbers in the Olympics. It was...
No, without that golden goal, that really saved him.
That did.
And also in 2014 when he scored the breakaway against Sweden.
Yeah. So when I look, you know, Marlowe's the type of, you know, he's a two-way player. I don't just look at the offensive numbers. I know that they haven't been what they used to be. NHL players, you find a player that's getting 82 points now, which is essentially a point per game. There's not many guys that can do that, just with the way that the league has been moving on to, you know, better defensive strategies. And the younger players are the ones that are usually driving it. So what are your expectations for him this season? My expectations, as I said, was at least 25 goals. He's probably going to put up more assists playing with, you know, a pretty good goal scorer in Austin Matthews.
I think he scores 30 goals.
And
how many times did, you know me especially, how many goals could Zach Hyman have scored just because nobody even took him as a legitimate option, scoring option? They're basically playing 4-on-5 the whole time. Because if I'm on the other team and I see him sitting in front of that, who gives a shit? He's not scoring. And he doesn't. He had, I think he had 10 goals. Mm-hmm. 4 of them were shorthanded. Some of the worst shorthanded goals I've ever seen. He basically, like, every time he shoots it right at the guy's chest. Like, he thinks there's going to be a hole hidden in his chest that he can just find it through. I mean, hardworking guy, but, yeah, he's not a top 9 forward.
No,
NHL.
And now I think with the Marleau signing, he will be back into the – he'll be in a fourth-line role. Because you mean?
I mean, he's obviously got more value than a regular fourth liner because he's an elite penalty killer, and that's, you know, an added bonus. He'll still get 16 minutes a night playing time. So
yeah, he's a guy that can move up and down the lineup. It's just the offensive numbers he wasn't putting. He wasn't. That's the reason why he wasn't a top 6 forward. It's not because of what he does defensively; it's what he does offensively. So Hyman will get his fair share of playing time with Babcock, who still really likes him. Let's move on to the other older guys, because apparently that's what everyone's calling now. Is you got Ron Hainsey, who wins his first ever Stanley Cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins on a blue line that it was almost like a Lego set, like, you know, just putting in pieces to repair after it got broken down so much.
Well, it's the lost toy box with all the random toys from other kids that they didn't want anymore, and just they built something that somehow, you know, it bent a lot, but it, you know, it didn't break, and they were lucky enough to repeat. So
yeah, so Ron Hainsey gets 2 years, $3 million per season.
Yeah.
Again, free agency, if you're looking for a guy like him to take a bargain after just winning a Stanley Cup, after he went through a really grueling, you know, playoffs with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Again, I don't know what people's expectations are with free agency, but that's usually how it goes. I like the signing because he's a veteran guy. He can play both the left and right side. We saw that with Pittsburgh. He played mostly on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
We needed a guy who brings stability, and I mean, obviously the veteran presence. They didn't have a guy like this during the year when the team was really struggling. You know, he was talking about how Carolina plays a very similar style to the Leafs. They run pretty similar styles, so that shouldn't be too much of an adjustment for him.
He's basically a slight upgrade on Matt Hunwick with less term.
Yeah, Hunwick got 3 years with the Penguins.
2.25, I think.
He got less money because he got that extra year.
He's not as good a player either.
No, and look, Hunwick played very well in the playoffs for the Leafs. He stepped up when they needed him to, but if I'm looking at who I would rather have, I'd probably take Hainsey because he's more of an established player. He's a guy that I think is more stable. Hopefully he plays with a semi-decent defensive partner.
In the end, he's just a stopgap to getting to those younger defensemen, you know, Lilligren.
Yeah, that's
Nielsen,
the other thing, too.
Like,
yeah, because going into people are saying the market for defensemen is very thin, and I wouldn't be comfortable having two rookies playing on the third pairing because then that would mean Gardner, Riley, Zaitsev taking a lot more ice time. And
I think
worn
on
down.
Defense, you got to kind of, if you're going to be a good team, you got to kind of integrate one young defenseman a year.
Yep.
I would never try and throw two or three. I think forwards it's different, but on D, because it's a lot harder position to learn. So,
yeah. So, do you see Haynes? Most people see Hainsey as the bottom pairing guy. With, you know, you could throw Dermott, Rosen, Borgman, one of the young guys.
Yeah,
which makes a lot of sense. Babcock has talked highly on pretty much all the younger D men. Obviously, it also makes it easier because they're not pushed in a situation where all three of them have to make the team.
Yeah,
I only see one of
that's
maybe
good. That's
making
what you
the
want.
Team. And
you don't want to just hand them jobs. You want them to
exactly
to take it themselves.
And you also want, if in case of an injury, one guy could be playing with the Marlies and get called up, and come in and play in your lineup, then go back down. That might even be a better way to get them integrated into the lineup, is to call them up when you need them to. They got that little taste, go back with the Marlies, work on whatever you need to.
Just based on what the Marlies did, you know, they got two really high-end AHL players. I don't their names elude me, but, you know, I think they got a high-end offensive defenseman.
Oh, yeah, they got...
And a centerman, too, Van something.
Okay, so they got... Yeah, so they got... I was trying to... I have the cap friendly in front of me. So they got Vincent Lovard.
Yeah.
Who's a right D. He's not... premier offensive guy, but he's
won the Calder Cup with I think
Ontario
the
Reign.
Yeah,
so he's a guy who brings pedigree. He's a replacement on Andrew Campbell, who is not a very good defenseman. He was a great leader, but not a great defenseman. And they also added I have the list Mueller, who can score at the AHL level. It's no surprise that they need some. They were a young team last year that lacked depth.
Yes.
That's the one thing it is you bringing in guys who can give you depth.
That's the thing that I think has really worked out for teams like Grand Rapids and what's the Pittsburgh team? Scranton, I think.
Wilkes-Barre Scranton
and Hershey is that, you know, they have those young guys, but they also have those established high-end AHL players.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just all on them. Obviously, you want them. You want the majority to be on them, but you know it's going to be different from the Marlies team that was the record-breaking team with Nylander and Brown and all those guys, and because they don't have as high-end prospects. I mean, they're still going to have a ton of young players who are going to play some big roles for the Marlies. Guys like you know, Timoshov, Bracco,
Adam Brooks,
you know, the two Swedish kids, and maybe even Dermott. So, you know, I like that play, and I think, you know, just having a guy an established NHLer, so basically these guys are going to have to, you know, be so good that you have to call them up.
Yeah, and the other one was Colin Greening. I couldn't remember. I was like, who was the third guy they brought in? Well, they brought him back, so technically it's a new guy there. This signing here that they did with Dominic Moore, the reason why I really liked it is because it's $1 million 1 year.
I like that a lot.
For fourth line. You know what it also means?
I think he might be better than Brian Boyle.
That was my point. Brian Boyle gets 2 years at 2.55 per year. No offense to Brian Boyle. He did a great job with the Leafs, but...
I don't think it's that massive a difference between him and Dominic Moore. And you save $1.5 million.
You save $1.5 million.
That $1.5 million now goes to a guy like Patrick Marleau. You know, you combine him and... Dominic Moore, you save yourself $1.5 million money. So
yeah, and not only that, when I look at what Moore brings as opposed to Boyle, Moore is probably a better skater, got a little more speed, still really good on the draws. You're not getting a big drop-off. If anything, I don't even think you're getting a drop-off between them. The other reason why I like the Dominic Moore signing, and you're going to like this too, Ben Smith will not be the fourth line center this year.
Whew, thank God.
So
God bless him, but go home.
So I think the Boston Bruins did the Leafs a big service of not bringing back Dominic Moore. So, and I remember when Dominic Moore was with the Leafs. I mean, this is also years ago. He could put up points. So he's got some scoring ability. I mean, I'm not expecting him to put up goals. I'm expecting him to.
I think he had like 25, 30 points, something like that.
Yeah, which is what you expect from a fourth line guy. Like, you know what you're getting from a guy like Dominic Moore, and you're not expecting any more or any less. He's just a decent player for you. This is where now we have to get into the nitty-gritty of the Leafs. Apparently cap situation now that they added Marleau.
Mm-hmm.
Get our good old cap-friendly in front of us. I was just about to say cap geek, which I really miss. So right now the Leafs are over the cap.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also because
bonus overages, long-term IR, multiple different things.
They're over by $1.6 million, $1.7 million. We'll just give it about that cushion there. They can be 10% over until the season starts.
So $7.5 million extra.
Yeah,
82.5.
So, are the Leafs in a cap problem? That everyone's saying. I don't get it. I don't get where some people are getting where. I had somebody say, well, then that means they're not going to be free agent players going forward. And my argument to that is,
we shouldn't be free agent players moving forward.
We shouldn't be because you have more. You have a more of a priority towards your actual players than need to be signed.
If we're free agent players, we're screwed.
Yes.
Because we have. I mean, I'll just look at CapGeek right now and look at key pieces that they have to sign. Matthews, Nylander, Marner, you know, Connor Brown, Kasperi Kapanen's a guy you're going to have to pay at the end of next year. JVR, Bozak, you know, that's just to name a few. So I'd rather pay all those guys who we know have a fit here over any guy that's on the market, because it's not like, you know, guys aren't getting their free agency anymore. You can see that July 1st with Carey Price getting signed.
Yep.
McDavid.
Draisaitl will eventually get signed.
The Sharks guys.
Vlasic and Martin Jones.
Yep.
This was my point, is that when your approach to free agency, I think the approach for any team for free agency should be what you have as opposed to what you expect to be there. I had somebody suggest Tavares. We don't – like, the chance of a Tavares making a free agency –
we're not the Knicks. I'm not waiting on a chance, a hope, and a whim that we can sign him.
That's
just
not,
take care of what you can.
That this is the problem. Somebody else also mentioned Doughty and Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Erik Karlsson. Those guys, if those guys make it to free agency, the teams that let them go to free agency screwed up.
Or if they do and it comes to that, you know – worst comes to worst, and they say, hey, we might come to the Leafs, open up $8.5 million. They'll move out someone to get $8.5 million in
exactly.
Space.
Look, are we expecting the cap to remain flat?
No, I'd expect it to go up incrementally, maybe $2.5 million a year.
That $2.5 million per year will eventually add up.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Doughty, if we're even considering Doughty, that's two years
that's
from now.
That's $5 million. It's at $80 million.
Okay.
That's lowballing it.
Yeah. If we're like Tavares, it's not I don't want Tavares. It's just not a play I think the Leafs should be looking at, because you're then, if you really want to talk about screwing up your cap, that's 8 years and he's probably getting what, 11, 12 million a season as a free agent?
Yeah.
Like a sweetheart contract for the Islanders would be 10, 10 and a half, what Taves and Kane signed, what Carey Price has signed with Montreal.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to get something around 10 and a half, maybe 10. Like, I know he's like CAA sports guy, so I'm pretty sure that's Kane and Taves too. So they might look for that same number.
Exactly. Like I don't get where people are thinking also that just because he's from Toronto, these guys going to take discount. That their agents are not going to like that. The agents will want to make them happy, but they also want them to get paid, because guess what? Agents also want to get paid.
I mean the whole hometown discount. I hate that. It's such a joke. Like you ask, they're like, take a hometown discount. Why? So they can give my money to someone else? Unless I know what it's going to and I approve of it, which no player has that power. I wouldn't take that. That's your job. That's why you're getting paid.
Look, this isn't Kevin Durant taking less money to stay with OKC.
Well, that's a guy that has $100 million off the court.
That too.
I mean, he makes that from, you know, Nike and all the other stuff. And also, that's what you get in basketball when you win championships. Is I think it's a little more clout than in hockey, because rings have kind of a massive importance to basketball.
Yep. Look, and yeah, those guys want to win. They want to keep those super teams alive. So Tavares is – I'm not even looking at that. I don't even think the Leafs are looking at that. They may want to say that they are, but –
if it comes up, yeah, that'd be great, and maybe we could find a way to put ourselves in that position. But then again, I'd rather sign our own guys instead.
Exactly. And you're trusting that you're going to keep drafting and developing good players going forward,
yep,
too. Yeah,
that's the most important thing to do, too.
So, yeah, I mean, we talked about that was actually a good point, is that we've been talking about drafting and developing guys for, what, the last 2-3 years? Now all of a sudden people are worried about luring in free agents. I just love how this whole recent bound of success has totally changed people's perceptions on how to build a winning team, and it's wrong. So people stop doing it, okay?
I don't know. It's just haters. I mean, people did it with the Oilers too. I don't care.
Look,
I don't really care what the Oilers do. They can pay him whatever they want. He could pay him $100 million, whatever. I don't care about the Oilers.
Exactly.
I just care about what the Leafs do.
And right now the Leafs are doing pretty good on my books.
And it's pretty much anybody else is just a hater.
Look, the fact that they're able to get...
I mean, how many teams out there in the league have talent like the three players that we have?
Yeah.
One? Maybe two?
Exactly. And when
so I'm not really concerned about the rest of the fans.
You got a second-line center in Nazem Kadri making $4.5 million.
Yeah.
He'd
probably be worth seven. A top open market.
You have a top-pairing defenseman in Morgan Rielly making $5 million. Nikita Zaitsev, people gave flack about that contract. He's making $4.5 million. Those types of contracts.
And the Freddie Anderson one, if he plays like he did in the playoffs, you know, you got Price making $10.5 million and he's making, what, $5 million?
Yeah, he's making...
Half that?
He's making $5 million.
So he's not half the goalie. He's probably worth $7.5 million to some teams.
And the one thing I will say about the McElhinney signing... Under $1 million, you see what backup goalies got on the open market?
Yeah, I was shocked that Anders Nielsen got $2.5 million. I mean, yeah, Vancouver's a mess, but good for him. Hey,
yeah,
good for him for getting his money.
Taking advantage. And Jonathan Bernier with Colorado.
2.75. Jesus Christ.
So
then again, you know, we found a goalie by waivers. I'm sure they could find a goalie by waivers, too.
Exactly. So... That those types of contracts, those types of moves, and then you look at the Leafs are going to implement younger players into the lineup that cost basically nothing. It's just the cap overages from the bonuses they have to keep in mind, and they also have probably one of the best cap strategists in the league, guy who pretty much was a part of the CBA planning, so I'm not too worried about that. I just want to bring up one thing with the Connor Brown, Zach Hyman thing. I was reading James Myrtle's article in The Athletic. He suggested that both of them should do two-year deals under $2 million each for their cap hit, just so that the Leafs may have some flexibility to add into this maybe window that just opened up for contending. And we're going to get into that window right after this. But if you're the Leafs, should the plan be to maybe not give those guys the money right now so that you have that flexibility to maybe add some other players? Or do you just pay them, give them a little more term, pay them a little bit more now?
That's what I would do for Connor Brown, because he actually looks like a guy who can score you 20, 25 goals a year, and that's probably worth, you know, $3 to $4 million.
What would you pay him, considering he's your own
guy? If I was his agent and I was on the open market, I'd look exactly at what Andrew Shaw's making, and I think he makes like $3.8 million.
Yeah, I think
if I'm the Leafs, if you can get him for $2.9 million. On 5-year deal, that's pretty good value.
Yeah.
And I think he's a guy from Etobicoke, just drove through it, you know, pretty close to the ACC. That's a guy that would take a hometown discount because this actually is his hometown. Yeah.
Those are the guys, I think, Babcock, when he talks about the guys who want to play here, the guys that want to stay here and they're going to take less money to do it. And I think Connor Brown, and we talked about this the last podcast, he's a guy that I know – would not want to play for another team.
No.
He would just tell his agent, look, I want to stay here as long as I can.
Obviously, I want to get paid, but,
yeah.
I mean, if I have to take $500,000 less a year, I mean,
yeah,
there's worse things in the world.
So I think, like, a guy like Zach Hyman, we can, say, give him a 2-year deal.
Yeah, maybe, like, 1 and 1.2, something.
Like a 1.5 is a max. Let's
just – I can think of – 9 wingers that are better than him.
Yeah, on this team. Yeah,
I'd rather have Kapanen. I'd rather play Levo over him.
Yep.
I mean, the only thing he really does is kill penalties, but Connor Brown does that, and he's a better scorer.
Yep, definitely.
And Dominic Brown's a pretty good penalty killer too. So
yeah, and then you got Tim Gleason and Jared Cowan's cap hits will be gone for their buyouts.
Yep.
I mean, the Phil Kessel $1.2 million, we know that's going to be there for
the write-off. And also the added thing that I didn't even notice was the bonus overage. Because I did the math on the money, and I was just like, this doesn't make sense. Yeah. And then I saw in the Cap Geek bonus overage is $5 million. Like, that kind of hurts, but
And you're probably going to expect the same thing next season.
Yeah, I mean, paying 3 superstars, what turns to be $9 million total is something I'll take.
That's what you're going to get paid for one of those guys when their contract is up.
Yeah, that'll be one.
So, yeah, I don't think there should be any worries about that. this is where now the window to compete comes up. The Leafs, this is where everybody's saying that the rebuild is over. I think you're building, you're not rebuild. Like my vision, like my idea of a rebuild is that you tear it down, add some assets, bring in the younger guys. Now you try to build that up towards a championship. They're in that end, that stage where you're building a competitive team. You're building that competing team. By the looks of it, the one thing they're missing is a top four defenseman on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see them adding that this summer?
I don't know. It's going to be hard. You know, the options are few and far between. Obviously, you know, the guys that look like they could be available. For me, there's only two that I think would be a significant upgrade over what we have, and it's Jason Demers. Obviously, he nixed a deal to Vancouver because he actually has a brain and wants to play past January until they pack in the season and play like 17-year-olds the whole season. And a guy like Justin Falk. I mean, the thing I don't understand with Carolina is how they just have so many defensemen.
Yeah.
They might have 10 defensemen.
So we looked at I'll bring 2 points up. But just looking at Carolina's defensemen, they have six signed for this season. They have only one defenseman making more than $1 million.
That is where stacking up a one position is going to hurt, because defensemen are more valuable than wingers, obviously, in trade. But they're also more valuable in terms of money going to be made, and they're going to get paid. I mean, Jacob Slavin is a great player. Brett Pesce, a great player. Hanifin was a top five pick. He's going to go into his last year of entry level. He's going to need a deal. The only one signs Justin Falk. Is Van Riemsdyk on a deal?
So I can count on one hand, so five, that need to be signed next season. Five.
And what's their cap situation? I can't think it's bad at all, but it's probably...
Look, I mean, the Jordan...
They're never going to be a cap team.
Yeah, no, they're not. Jordan Staal making $6 million a year is not helping that. So they have cap room right now, but they don't... It doesn't look like... I mean, they could add another defenseman, although unless they decide to bring one up. But next season, they have to sign 5D men.
I think Lindholm next year.
Lindholm needs to be re-signed. Joachim Nordstrom needs to be signed. Derek Ryan is a guy they brought on a one-year UFA.
Jeff Skinner's going to need an extension if he wants to play there.
He's done 2 years.
If they have any hopes of competing, they're going to need to add some offense too.
Yeah. They were rumored to be looking at adding more scoring elsewhere.
They kind of remind me they strike me as a team. If it's 60, if 75 million is the cap, I think they'd have an internal cap of about 65, 67. Because they're not going to be at the – they're not a cap team. They probably never will be. But they'll never be a floor team like Arizona either.
Yeah. And, I mean, they make that trade for Van Riemsdyk, which I thought
great
was –
great trade.
A great trade. It's just now you got to sign the guy.
Yeah.
You look at their minor league. They got a guy like, you know, Jake Bean, who's still in juniors, 18. He's probably coming. He'll be a guy that they'll eventually bring into the lineup.
Hayden Fleury, Roland McEwen. I mean, they got some pretty good young defensemen.
They do.
Could bust through.
So if you're the Leafs, do you make a little phone call to Ron Francis and say, look, you got a lot of defensemen. This is almost like the Anaheim situation.
Yeah.
You have a lot of defensemen.
But there, Anaheim's a little more strapped for because they have a window that they kind of have to
fit
in right now.
They do. They had to just give up a pretty good defenseman, Shea Theodore, to try to keep that from imploding.
Yeah.
You go and you say, okay, you need to move a defenseman. Who's a guy? You just mentioned Falk. Do you think Carolina is willing to deal a guy who's 25 years old and making under $5 million the next 3 seasons?
It's going to cost a lot.
It is. So obviously Carolina needs scoring. What's the starting point going to be for a guy like Justin Falk?
I think you're going to need at least James Van Riemsdyk to agree to an extension.
Ooh, that's tough. He just nixed a deal to the Islanders. So that's a good point right there.
And he's from that area too.
Yeah. Like he's not far from there.
But that's a team that can give you money. I mean, they paid a lot of money for Scott Darling, who hadn't really proved much. I think he got over $4 million.
He just,
A team where, you know, maybe, you're foregoing the chance to go to UFA, but you're probably going to get a significant upgrade on what your 4.25 is, maybe 5.75. And, you know, it would take that and a first-round pick, I think. I think he's probably a better player than Hamonic because, I mean, he scored 17 goals last year. And there are not many guys that can score over 10 to 15 goals from the back end.
Nope. And that's something the Leafs would actually need.
Because they just don't get goals. I think the only guy that had double-digit goals was Gardner.
Yeah. Gardner, I mean, Gardner doesn't even have a booming shot from the point. Riley.
But it gets through.
It gets through. Riley is a guy who just throws it at the net and, you know, you take a prayer. Gardner had 9 goals last season. His career high is 10, and he's done that.
Not a single guy who has double-digit goals.
So I would like a guy like – this is where I think that Hamonic deal kind of really hurt the Leafs because his cap hit was lower.
Perfect. I would have paid that, but it kind of sucks because they just didn't want to give it to a team that they're going to be playing against, and that makes sense to me.
Yep. So the other guy we brought up was Jason Demers. Now, we know that Jason Demers has a Falk doesn't have a no trade, so he has no say. Demers does.
Mm-hmm.
I brought this up when they signed Marlowe, which is you got now a former teammate, one phone call to say, hey, come to the Leafs, makes it a little easier. Because
Marlowe.
Yeah, you have Marlowe who can call him and say, look, this is a team that's ready to compete now. Demers is 29. He's making 4.5 over the next 4 seasons. Florida cannot afford to – like they obviously they have the cap. It's just Florida is a team that can't spend if they're not winning. And last season was not great for them. They need to shed salary, as you saw with Riley Smith being moved. They're not bringing back Jágr. They lost Marchessault, who was making a sweetheart contract, but that's the cost of – I don't even know who they were going to lose to Vegas if they were – that was really, really confusing with the whole Riley Smith-Marchessault.
I think they didn't want to lose a guy like Petrovic or Mark Pesic or something like that.
Yeah, guys who are making pretty good money on your back end. So Demers, I think a guy like Demers you can get from Florida for – a pretty decent price.
If you remember what I said last year during the free agent frenzy, the Leafs didn't do anything, but that was the guy I wanted.
Yeah,
was Demers. I thought he was a pretty decent player, and I didn't think he would cost that much. And I think what's he getting $4.5 million or something.
Yep. That's the type of cap hit the Leafs would want for a top four right-handed defenseman. This is where I would even tell Florida, look, we will take that off your hands.
And give you maybe a draft pick and maybe a Josh Levo or something like that. Because it kind of looks like they're trying to move him.
And I would also try to add like a contract, like maybe a Marchenko, maybe a Fair, just to alleviate the cap. Because like Marchenko makes 1.45, which is not – it's not
onerous, yeah.
It's not bad, but you don't want that on your team.
Yeah, ideally.
Fair is making $2 million on the cap. I mean, Fair can give you something if, you know, a guy gets injured, he can plug into the lineup, give you something. But at $2 million, I would rather not have it.
Right.
And I would not – and, you know, people will say, you know, send him down to the AHL, but you're still going to have to pay part of that contract even if you do send him down.
Yeah.
So this is where I would say to Florida, look, we will give you a little bit more if you take a couple of contracts off our hands because Florida – and look, like Marchenko and Fair are done after this season. They don't have to really worry about afterwards. We can give them a younger forward. A guy like Levo, a guy like Soshnikov, I think those guys that are not established on this line in this lineup make some room for a guy like Kapanen, who I think is going to have a hard time making the team just because
I don't know why.
Of the room. He's a great player. It's not because I don't think he's a great player. It's just
I think he's pretty much locked in to make the team.
Where is he going to play? Because that's where we're going to go next is This forward team, this forward group is logjammed.
He kind of has to play on the fourth line. And, yeah, you know, it's a good problem to have, but.
It is. So, and I remember people were talking about, what's this Leafs team going to be like moving forward? A guy like, you know, Elio Komarov, are you keeping him around? Are you going to be keeping?
No.
Like, Jane, like when people were talking about Van Riemsdyk, I would try to move him if I can. But if you're seeing a window to compete now, are you afraid of losing him for nothing?
No. I don't think at this stage you can trade him for futures. I think the only thing that would make sense would be a hockey deal. Because I just, there's no, unless they fall out, there's pretty much no way you could trade him for futures.
So I would rather keep JVR if they can't trade him for a defenseman. And then you just kind of, you say, thank you for your helping us get into a competitive window, into our competitive window. Go make your money. Because this is going to be one of his last time to make a good, have a good deal.
Yeah.
People thinking he's going to sign a discount to stay in Toronto, unless he really loves the situation and really wants to stay,
no,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see it either.
Like that's something the Leafs are going to have to keep in mind. You also look at the free agent class next season. I don't see a defenseman that the Leafs are going to want next season. I just don't. So I think if you're going to move a guy like Van Riemsdyk, you can bring in a defenseman. It has to be done in the offseason.
Yeah, they kind of.
I'm not trading JVR really during the year to add a defenseman.
I doubt that would make sense for any other team. Either.
Because the one thing the Leafs can do is they can go over the cap in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So if they want to add a defenseman during the trade deadline, they can do kind of what Chicago did when they kind of loaded up. Obviously, they need a guy to be injured.
Mm-hmm.
We hope it doesn't come to that. But that's another thing that the Leafs can do moving forward. I think you're basically looking at who you can move out to bring someone else in. Or who can you bring in that's on the cheap and kind of offset it with some other salaries.
It's not going to be a high-end player.
No. And unfortunately, high-end players cost money in free agency, and they cost you assets.
Yeah, even more on the trade market.
Oh, gosh. Like, we're talking about Falk. Like, the starting point we said was JVR. If he resigns, like, that's a condition that's probably going to have to happen in the trade. Because if JVR doesn't sign, they'll probably have to put a condition on the trade to add draft picks and other stuff.
Yeah.
So the Leafs will have to be very careful with that. I mean, they've been pretty careful of who they traded away. They have an abundance of draft picks, but they've also lost some. Like, New Jersey, the guys they added this season through trades were not even draft picks they owned.
I know. They've done a really good job of improving their talent level.
Johansson was brought in with, and one of the third-round picks was from the Leafs taking Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah, I know.
The second-round pick.
Marcus Johansson, Hischier. What else did they had one more guy, I think. Boyle and who else? I feel like they had one more guy.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the Devils, I looked at the Devils and I say, that's cute. They're making some moves. But I don't
like,
think.
Oh, they're making some moves. I don't see them ever being, next year at least, I don't see them being in a playoff spot, but they're definitely going to be better.
Well, they bought out Camilleri and they bought out Devontae Smith-Pelly.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that team doesn't have the talent yet. They'll get there.
Nope.
Before we end this off, let's do a little, as it stands right now, where do you see the Leafs team next season? Do you see them as one of the tops in the division?
Yeah, I think they're going to finish top two in the Atlantic because the Atlantic, I don't know. There's just a lot of meh teams. Like, I don't see Montreal being that good. I think they got worse.
Yeah.
I think Ottawa's got worse. And also, I didn't see that as, you know, a true test that they were a contender last year. They kind of, you know,
they scraped and clawed.
Yeah, exactly. And it was one of those, you know, miracle runs. They had one back in 2006 and then never made it close again until now. And, you know, Florida got worse. Boston, maybe. I think they could be, you know, three or a fringe team.
A year Charlie McAvoy full-time on the team could make a difference
for
them.
They still got some young players who can come up, but So that's a team that's going to be up there. Who else am I missing in the Metro?
Well, you got the Leafs, you got the Habs, you got the Lightning, you got Florida.
Well, the Lightning, I think, are probably going to win the division or finish second.
I think they're the biggest Leafs competition.
If they can get healthy.
If they stay healthy.
Yeah.
It's not getting healthy, it's staying healthy. And then you also have Detroit, who I think
are going to be terrible. And maybe Buffalo gets slightly better, but I don't know. They didn't really do much.
I always forget about Buffalo. Poor Buffalo.
They're all their fans, you know, if Jack Eichel was healthy. I just don't think they have enough talent.
No, especially up front. They haven't done enough, I think, to give anyone any, like, hope of that they're moving up yet. They may be better than, like Ottawa if Eichel plays well.
I don't know. Ottawa's going to add – obviously they lost Mathot, but they're going to be adding
is Shabbat
Colin White and Shabbat. Yeah, he'll probably make the team.
I remember I was driving, what was it, yesterday, and they were asking, it was on TSN, they were asking Gord Miller, I think it might have been today. We're recording this on Tuesday on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. They were asking, where do you think the Leafs are going to be? And he says, I mean, they made it as a wild card team, and I think they're going to be there again. And I'm like, well, yeah, they made it on the last week of the season, but
and they could have easily been second.
They could have easily that Atlantic division was open for a good three quarters of the season. The Leafs got off to like a bad start, I think.
And I think post All-Star break they had the third best record in the league.
Mm-hmm. The Leafs also didn't have a backup goalie until McElhinney came.
And they also went 1-8 in shootouts.
That's not happening.
I mean, I don't know anything about Dominic Moore's prowess at shootouts, but I think Patrick Marleau's a decent
I actually think Dominic Moore is not bad at I think he scored on the Leafs before in the shootout.
I also don't understand how three guys as talented as Marner, Nylander, Matthews are so awful at shootouts.
Let's not forget that Bozak and Kadri were given regular reps at the shootout. And James
Bozak's Ramsey. Pretty good on shootouts, actually.
So I think you take some – you even go half. You even split the overtime shootout.
4-4, that's an extra 4 points.
And that would have given the lead.
That would have put them in second.
They would have been Ottawa, where Ottawa was.
Where Ottawa is, yeah.
So,
and God knows how many 5-1, 4-1, 3-1 leads they blew in the third period.
That's
not
happening now.
Chicago. Well, we hope it doesn't happen, but.
This is a more experienced group now.
Slightly.
I think with the additions they've made, like, you can send Patrick Marleau. One thing I forgot to mention about Marleau is that guy can take some draws.
Yeah.
He's got versatility. I mean, he's not going to be primarily as a center, but
he's not going to be like Brian Boyle, but yeah, I think he's got – and he's better defensively too.
Yeah.
He's really good defensively.
Like, he's a guy that when the Leafs are in trouble, you put the puck up in the in center ice in the neutral zone, he's going to find it, and he's just going to race with it.
Mm-hmm.
So – I like the signs that the Leafs made. They didn't go crazy. They weren't like, you know, I mean, Dallas gave Radulov the 5 years, which
I didn't have a problem with that, actually.
He's a decent player, but
I mean, really like what Dallas has done. I think they're going to be a good team.
They will be. And the reason why I brought up the Radulov thing is because I read, I believe it was Travis Yost, who said the Leafs could have made some cost-saving decisions over Marleau.
I just don't see them giving any guy, not their own, a five-year deal unless it's a significant player.
And then the other guy was Scott Hartnell.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I
kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit there when I heard that because
good for him going back to where it all started with Nashville, but I don't think he's a difference maker. I think he had like 10 or 15 goals.
Not even that. I would rather have Zach Hyman at that point because Hartnell can't skate. we know that. He can't skate with Matthews or Nylander. And look, Nylander was probably one of the Leafs' best player in the second half of the season.
In the playoffs, I think.
And in the playoffs. I think he's going to be a key to get it all started. Matthews, I think, is going to be getting way more points. He's not going to have, 29 assists? That's not happening next season.
Well, we hope so with a guy that actually
can score
goals.
And somebody brought up that, you know, Hyman had more primary assists on Matthews' goals. Look, when you play with a guy
who scores 40 goals, you better get some assists.
You better. And Matthews will be the even strength guy. Like, their power play is going to be deadly again, I think. So the one last question I have before we end it is William Nylander and whether or not you think he's going to be a center at some point.
I don't know. I kind of like where he is now, but it looks like he's going to be transitioning towards that. I don't know how good of a player he's going to be defensively. I mean, he's obviously, you know, really nifty in that he can, you know, steal the puck and is able to take it away from guys.
He's not going
to
be the physical center that you see like an Austin Matthews is.
Well, I was thinking like a Henrik Zetterberg, a guy that – but you have to be – it's a lot more cerebral kind of position, and you have to do a lot. I kind of like where he is on the wing personally right now. I mean, that could obviously change based on necessity and among other things. But and also an added thing is – if you sign him as a winger, it's a lot cheaper than as a center.
So that's what I was saying. This season, you keep him on the wing.
Yeah, until he signs.
Sign him in a new contract, and then when Bozak is done, because this could also make maybe not having Bozak here a little easier to bear with. I mean, or you bring Bozak at a lower price, have him as like the fourth line center, and Nylander slides in as your second line center. Kadri is your third, and that's your center depth. Which I think would be pretty good. And somebody brought up a good way you can do that is you would bring Nylander once in a while, you play him, you have him take some draws, you have him play if Bozak gets injured, instead of going and calling up a guy, put Nylander as a center. Do things like that where you're not just throwing him into it, you're kind of easing him into it. In preseason, play him as a center. Get him kind of used to it.
For
so
sure.
I think the Leafs are in a, I mean, I think they're we said that this if they're not second round going conference finals, like that's probably where the expectation is going to be now, because the Blackhawks and they kind of compare this to the Blackhawks. Blackhawks missed the first season with Kane and Taves, well the Leafs made the playoffs with Matthews, Marner, Nylander. Second season,
they went to the conference finals.
Went to the conference finals.
Then
third
they,
season,
they won.
They won. So. And when I see the East, I don't see Washington being as good.
No.
I think
the Rangers are worse.
I think Pittsburgh is the biggest – is the guy. Is
I think
the
Columbus
team
is better. I think Philly's better. New Jersey's better.
Yeah.
Detroit's going to be worse.
Montreal's going to be worse.
Yeah. Ottawa's probably going to be worse.
We talked about that. So I think the Leafs road to the play, especially if they can make it through the their look, they were the second wild card team that had to go through the Metro. It's much different than if you're in the Atlantic.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you
don't want to go through the Metro because you don't want to meet Columbus or you know. Obviously, I thought that Columbus was going to be able to get Kovalchuk, but it looks like he's going to be going back, barring something unforeseen.
I think he realizes maybe next year will be a better time for him to try to get
perhaps
a contract.
I really like the fit with Columbus though, and the two teams I don't want to play in the first round are Pittsburgh and Columbus. Those are the teams I don't want to play at all.
So if you're the Leafs, you need to make
and
it.
Tampa Bay. So.
Yeah, they need to make it as let's say like the two seed in the division.
Yeah, or then, the one. Hopefully the one, but. I think Tampa Bay probably wins the division.
Well, but that's the other thing, is if they make it as the one, they face the
wild card team. So.
And who knows?
Oh, the Islanders got better, too, so maybe they're a wild card team. They're a team I wouldn't want to play specifically. If they get a player like Duchesne or something like that.
Mm-hmm. This is where I see, like, last year, where the two wild card teams, I actually think both wild card teams will be from the Metro. And
I mean,
there's only two playoff teams I see in the Atlantic, which are the Leafs and I mean, you need three.
Like bona fide playoff teams.
Bona fide playoff teams. If one team, if Montreal goes on, like Montreal is like almost like a team on a run where they'll go on this crazy run with Carey Price playing lights out, go off the rails for a bit, play even, you know, 500 hockey for the rest of the season and make the playoffs. Yeah. That's Montreal's MO.
I don't know. They got significantly worse. I mean, if they lose Markov,
there's only one guy who can score on that blue line, and it's Weber.
Yeah, Markov was. If he go, I mean, for all the flack he gets, he's still a pretty decent player.
He means a lot more.
I think
to
he got like
Canadians.
Almost 40 points as a 38-year-old. But yeah, he means a lot more to the Canadians than any other team.
Losing Radulov
was a big loss.
They don't other than
Drouin and Galchenyuk.
I don't know who's going to score.
Why. I mean, they could trade Galchenyuk for a six-string D for all we know.
That's what
I mean, considering they just love trading away good young players.
Or, and then, unless they're French.
Yeah, I actually like that deal.
Oh, I like the Joanne duo, but when I hear that they're not sold on Galchenyuk yet, my jaw kind of drops.
I don't know. He scores 30 goals. Just play him on the wing. He can't play center, play him on the wing. He can score you 30 goals, and he's one of the few guys that can do it.
They just don't have centermen. So
yeah.
Luckily, the Leafs are not in that situation.
Anymore.
Well, I would like to thank you guys for joining us on the TOT cast. You can follow myself, D_Morsuti, on Twitter, and you got Jake. You can find him at JakeMiddleton12. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and on SoundCloud or wherever you find your podcast. Hopefully the next time we come on, we'll have a better idea of where this Leafs team will be looking next season, whether they add someone or not. And hopefully Chris will come back from Cuba without any major burns or whatever you can get from Cuba.
Yeah.
And to our listeners down in the States, happy 4th of July. Jake is going to be coming back Wednesday.
So. I'm missing the festivities.
He's missing the festivities. I'm quite okay with it. But you're here for Canada Day.
Yeah, which I guess is a trade-off.
A little bit of a trade-off, but not too bad. Thank you guys, and enjoy the rest of your summer.